Somebody asked that. Well, you know, if somebody has a bad attitude, how do you deal with that? What if I have a stubborn husband in my marriage? What if I have rebellious children? What if I have issues going on in my life that is causing me to have some struggles? And I said, well, you know, I can address each one of these individually, but it seems like there's a common thread that's running through all of it. And the thread that's running through it all is brokenness. That people
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken.
We're in a series now, and the title of the series is You Got to Give the People. Oh, y'all know it. Y'all know it this morning. If he'd have kept playing that music, some of y'all would have broke out in song. Amen. Got to give the people what they want. And so we have been in a series of issues that you wanted me to address from the pulpit. You said, Pastor, there are issues that I'm struggling with in my life. There are things that are going on that I need some biblical wisdom to know how to deal with. So we're dealing with, you got to give the people what they want. This is what you asked for. So this morning, we are in a message entitled Brokenness. And as we think about brokenness, when I sent out those surveys, people turned in such things as, how do you deal with bad attitudes? Somebody asked that. Well, you know, if somebody has a bad attitude, how do you deal with that? What if I have a stubborn husband in my marriage? What if I have rebellious children? What if I have issues going on in my life that is causing me to have some struggles? And I said, well, you know, I can address each one of these individually, but it seems like there's a common thread that's running through all of it. And the thread that's running through it all is brokenness. That people need to be broken. If you're going to be in a marriage, you got to be broken. There's going to be times when you have to yield what you think and what you feel. You got to yield that to the good of the marriage. There are times when you might have every right to have a bad attitude about a certain thing in your mind, but you got to suck it up, and you got to come before the Lord and be broken. And so there's a thread that runs in all of our lives that if we're going to have any type of spiritual success, that there has to be a degree of brokenness in our life. So the title of my message today is You Cannot Be Fixed Until You Are Broken. You can't be fixed until you're broken. In your notes today, I open up with a quote from Harry Ironside, who was one of the greatest biblical expositors that has walked across the face of the earth. And he said that God is looking for broken men, and I will say slash women. God is looking for broken men who have judged themselves in light of the cross of Christ. When he wants anything done, he takes up men who have come to the end of themselves, whose confidence is not in themselves, but is in God. That's the type of individual that God is looking for. God is looking for this individual that's in this picture up here that comes to the breast of Jesus Christ, broken, or as I heard one songwriter say, I came to Jesus as I was. I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. The Lord is looking for those who will come to him of a broken spirit and a contrite heart, who'll be willing to put their head on his breast and allow him to love up on them for a little bit. And that's why I say that in order for you to be fixed, that you first must be broken. Now, I'm not talking about broken in the sense of bad break. I'm talking about in the sense of you got to be broken to self and self-desires. There was a story of a young minister who, this was his first opportunity to preach, and he studied, he got his message down, and he was just confident in the fact that he could go up and proclaim this word and preach this word. So he went up in the pulpit with his chest stuck out and got up there and started to preach. And about a minute when, as he got into his sermon, he just felt that he was laying an egg. And I mean, it just seemed like the spirit left him, and it seemed like he lost his place in his notes, and he misread words in the scripture. And when he got done, he kind of was glad that it was over, and he put his head down and kind of creeped out of the pulpit and went and sat down beside a seasoned preacher. And he said to the seasoned preacher, he said, "I don't understand what happened." He said, "I studied, I looked up words, I looked up illustrations, I did all this, and I got up there and and just flopped." And the old preacher said, "I know what your problem is." He said, "If you went up like you came down, then you would have came down like you went up." Amen. And what was the difference? He came down broken. He went up, he was filled with pride. He went up, he was filled with his ego and self. He went up, he was filled with himself. But when he came down, he was broken. And the old preacher said, if you went up broken, if you went up with your head bowed, dependent on God, then you could have came down the way you went up. And that's the essence of brokenness today. As we think about brokenness, there are two types of brokenness. There's a negative brokenness, and then there's a positive brokenness. The negative side of brokenness comes from Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. And Proverbs 15, 3 says, "By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Now, what does this mean? This means that sometimes you can break a person's spirit by saying something negative to them, and it will take away their heart, it will take away their courage, it will take away their enthusiasm for something. That if you come and, you know, I remember one time we went to this amusement park in Canada up at Niagara Falls. I forget the name of it, but my kids were all little. You know, all four of them. I think the oldest one might have been about 11 years old. And we went to this amusement park. And man, you know, we were on family vacation, and we had hyped up this amusement park. And all the kids, you know, they were all excited about going to the amusement park. And we got into the park, and we began to walk. And we didn't see any rides. And we walked, and we didn't see any rides. And we kept walking for about 10 minutes, and we didn't see any rides. And by that time, all that excitement and all that enthusiasm that my kids had, guess what happened? It was gone. Well, see, that's what Proverbs 15, 13 is talking about. It's talking about breaking a person's spirit in that way. And that's not a good thing. When somebody's excited about something and you break their spirit, that's not a good thing. But then there's another kind of brokenness. Look at Psalm 51. This is the kind of brokenness that God is looking for. Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, in verse 17, David said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise." This is the kind of brokenness that God is looking for. That God is not looking for us to break people's spirit when they are excited and encouraged about something, but he is looking for that person who is filled with himself, who is filled with sinful attitudes, who is filled with pride and rebellion. God says that this is the kind of brokenness that I'm looking for. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. What is brokenness? In this message, we will focus on the perspective of brokenness found in Psalm 51:17. Brokenness is the pressure of God, Brokenness is the pressure of God upon some sinful attitude in our lives where he seeks to bring us to a place of humility, sorrow, and repentance. That God looks down at our lives and God sees a sinful area in our life. And what does God do? God puts his hand on that area. God begins to press on that area. And the reason that he presses on that area is so that we would come to a place of humility, sorrow, and repentance. As we consider the word of God, we see three pictures of brokenness. Let me give you three pictures of brokenness. Job, Isaiah, and Peter. You remember Job was a man that lost everything that he had. He lost his family, he lost his possessions, and he lost his health. And in the midst of all that, God seems to be aloof. God seems to be somewhere out there, and God does not come to Job and interact with him in the midst of what he's going through. And Job says, oh, that I might know where I could find him. There I could go and plead my case. And so Job is out here wandering in the wilderness, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, in the 42nd chapter, now 42 chapters, that's a long book, right? 42 chapters, God hadn't heard anything from Job. I mean, Job hadn't heard anything from God. Then all of a sudden, God shows up. And look what God says to Job in chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. Job cries out, and Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When God finally shows up and God displays his greatness before Job, what happens? Job becomes broken. And Job says, in essence, I hate myself. Now we're not into this thing of self-hatred and all that, so I'm not trying to promote that at all. But get the picture. Job says to himself, who was I to ever question God? Who was I to ever ask where he was at? Who was I to ever question his working in my life? And now God has showed up, and I see God face to face, and Job says that I repent in ashes and sackcloth. That's brokenness. That's brokenness. Have you ever been to the point of Job? Have you ever wondered where God is at and you've questioned his working in your life? You've questioned his presence? And then God does something great. And the first thing that should happen to us is that we should fall on our face in brokenness. The second illustration that we have of brokenness is Isaiah. Isaiah says in chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And the angels cried out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And Isaiah is caught up in the throne room of God, and he catches a glimpse of the vision of God. And when Isaiah catches a glimpse of God's vision, and he sees God, look what he says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. This is a picture of brokenness. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What a picture of brokenness. That Isaiah sees God in all of his glory. And when he sees God in all of his glory, and he sees these angels flying around, what is the only thing that he could do? Is bow his head and say, woe is me, for I am undone. I have seen the King. That's brokenness. That's brokenness. Have you ever been there before? Has your spirit ever been broken before? And the last picture of brokenness we have is Peter. Jesus shows up to the disciples after they had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, "Let down your net into the water." And Peter sarcastically said, somebody said Peter should have worn peppermint socks because he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. But Peter sarcastically says, "Look, man, you know, you're a carpenter. We're fishermen. And we have been here all night fishing, and we haven't caught a thing. But anyways, because you said it, we'll let our nets down." And so they let their nets down, and they bring them up, and the Bible says that they caught so many fish that the Bible almost began to sink. And Peter looks, and look what the scripture says that Peter did. It says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, it says that when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Man, that's brokenness. That's brokenness. And so in the scriptures, we've seen three pictures of brokenness: Job, Isaiah, and Peter. Now we want to look at some attitudes that need to be broken. What are some attitudes that need to be broken? How do you know if you need to be broken? Well, if you're hard-headed, foolishness, or you're filled with pride, you need to be broken. Hard-headedness. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but we've heard the story of Pharaoh, how that Moses went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. And in Exodus chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hard," and he refused to let the people go. Pharaoh's heart is hard, and he refused to let the people go. If you are sitting here today and you have a hard heart, you need to be broken. You know, there are sometimes in relationships where a spouse will commit adultery. And the spouse that commits adultery, sometimes I've seen this, instead of humbling themselves and being broken and going asking for forgiveness or asking their mate to you know, just to forgive them and I'm repentant, I'm sorry. You know what I see some? Well, you know, if you wasn't doing this, then that would have never happened. Well, you know, if you didn't do such and such a thing, I wouldn't have had to go over here. And, you know, as soon as I hear that, you know what the first thing, man or woman, you need to be broken. You're not broken. I'm not hearing any sorrow. I'm not hearing any brokenness in your heart. As a matter of fact, you are just hard-headed. And you know what we learned growing up? A hard head makes a soft behind. You know, there are people who try to justify their sins. And instead of being broken and say that I'm sorry, they try to blame it on everybody else and everything else instead of taking personal responsibility. You need to be broken. There's a phenomenon in our day that disturbs me. Y'all pray for me on this because this really is troubling to my soul. I don't see how it is that people will commit sin, live a sinful lifestyle, and then go put it on Facebook. Where's the brokenness at in that? Where's the repentance in that? Where's the humility in that? Man, if we've committed a sin against the holy God, there'll be something in our heart that just breaks and aches because David said, "Lord, I have sinned against thee and thee only." And so some people are just hard-headed and they need to be broken. Some people are just foolish and they need to be broken of their foolishness. In the Old Testament, we read a story about David. And how that David helped out this guy named Nabal. And when David helped him out, He asked Nabal to do him a favor. And guess what Nabal said? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help you out. He denied David's request. And when Nabal's wife found out about it, Abigail, she thought to herself, man, he could at least did what David asked him to do. And then listen to what his wife says. His wife says in 1 Samuel 25:25, I pray thee regarding this worthless fellow. Now she's talking about her husband. I pray thee regarding this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and you know what his name meant? Anybody know? Fool. The word Nabal means fool. And so here David had did something for him. David asked him for a favor, and he said no, and he only reflected the character of his name. His name meant fool, and he was a fool. And you know, there are some people that are just foolish, and they do foolish things. You know, I was watching one of these court shows one day. Forgive me. Y'all pray for me then, right? Pray for your pastor. All right. But you know why I watch the show? I'm going to tell you why I watch these shows. Because I see people on there, and it helps me to identify where a lot of folks are at. It helps me to understand people. And as I sit there, you know, I'm giving them counsel. But there was a guy on there one day. He had wrecked somebody's car. And the reason that he was on there is he had wrecked the car and the other person was taking him to court. And the judge asked him, you know, well, why is it that you shouldn't have to pay? You drove this person's car and you wrecked this person's car. Why is it that you shouldn't have to pay for their car? And the person said, well, when they gave me the keys, first of all, they knew I didn't have a license. And secondly, they knew I had been drinking. That's crazy, man. So you mean you don't have to pay for the person's car? You don't have to pay for it? You drove it, you wrecked it, you don't have to pay for it? And so we see here that person needed to be broken. They needed to be broken. They needed some common sense that to be instilled in them. Some people are filled with pride, and they need to be broken. Nebuchadnezzar, who built Babylon, went out. And one day as he walked across his porch, he looked and saw great Babylon that he had built. And notice what he said in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of my might and by my power and for the honor of my majesty? And he was filled with pride, and he needed to be stripped down. He needed to be broken. You know, there are people that think that they are better than other people. They need to be broken. There are people that think they are so high and mighty that they can't come down and be with, you know, people that might be less fortunate than they need to be broken. And so when we look at attitudes that need to be broken, maybe you see yourself in some shape or form in the three attitudes, and there could be many more. I only just put up three this morning. But in the three attitudes that I put up, do you see yourself anywhere in there? I know I see myself in there sometimes. You know, I find sometimes I have to be broken in reference to my wife, you know, because she might have something to say to me, and I might have a little pride that, you know, I don't really want to hear what she got to say. And so, somebody heard me. And I realized, and at some point the Lord will show up to me, and the Lord will say, Bill.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Brokenness, You Cannot Be Fixed Until You Are Broken, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Brokenness, You Cannot Be Fixed Until You Are Broken. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Brokenness, You Cannot Be Fixed Until You Are Broken. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is Anchored in Jesus, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.